Afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the program. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is our weekly look of what's going on in the news. Joining me this week from the wilds of Youngstown, Ohio, is author, activist, and barkeep Sam Moffey. Sam, welcome.
Thanks, Simon. Hello to the listening audience. Looking forward to another great show of discussing the events of the past week.
Is it as disgustingly hot in Youngstown everywhere else?
No, and I'm hoping you guys aren't sending it. I hope John Perry's not blowing some of his hot air our way. But the temperature seems to move from the West Coast to the East Coast, so I anticipate we'll get it shortly, and I hope over the July 4th weekend, I guess, what they're saying.
Right, and on the subject of John Perry, from L.A., we have the owner of Sunset Protection, the always colorful John Perry. John, good to talk to you.
Hey, Simon, good to hear your voice again, which begs the question thousands of listeners within earshot are asking themselves right now. What else is on?
Wow. John, it's one of the reasons I like you.
Well, Sam insulted me with that hot air comment.
Well, you could have put out me, not Simon.
Believe it or not, John, one of your staunchest supporters is my wife. Now, she only hears half of the conversation. And when, you know, when I wrap the program up, hang the phone up, and she says things like, "Boy, you were rude to John." I have tried to explain to her that, you know, it's very much two-way street.
Simon, I appreciate all the support I can get. I'm glad I'm seen as a sympathetic figure, at least in half of your family.
Okay, there's lots of subjects that I want to talk about this week. But let's kick off with, you know, the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden. I know we talked about him last week, but there's some interesting developments. Now, I spent many happy years traveling by air. I've experienced delays and layovers, but the idea of spending an entire week in the Moscow airport transit zones must be wearing just a little bit thin. Sam, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I thought, you know, it was more, last week, you know, he went from, you know, Hong Kong to Moscow, was going to be there probably for like a night or two, party a little with Vladimir, and then you know, on his way to Cuba, then to Ecuador, so it seems, with the help of some other people. And here he is a week later, and he's still partying with Vladimir, and but he's not, he's still in Moscow. And I'm wondering
right. What's
going on there.
Well, the U.S. have revoked his passport. That's problem number one. And Ecuador, for whatever reason, are saying, you know, we're not really sure that we want him. John, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I have a couple thoughts. I was thinking the Moscow airport's probably one of the few airports in the world you can still enjoy an unfiltered cigarette. I suspect he's under a lot of stress, and I would imagine, as we said last week, he's going to undergo a thorough debriefing by the Russian authorities. And judging by Obama's comments this week saying he wasn't going to scramble the jets, I don't think there's any priority to get him back anyway.
Okay. What do you think his next move is? I mean, obviously, you know, staying at the airport it isn't an ideal situation.
Well, I have a question. How do we know he really is there? I mean, could that be a smokescreen and he's on his way somewhere else and he's going to all of a sudden pop up and say, hey, that was just a smokescreen so we could smuggle him out the back door, so to speak? Possibility, isn't it?
Oh, it's an absolute possibility. But that takes us back to where the hell would he go? You know, while he was in Hong Kong, he had the chance of scooting to China, who I'm sure wouldn't have welcomed him with open arms, but based on the nature of the material that he had, that they might have been interested.
Well, I thought it was interesting that his father tried to jumped into the sway and was negotiating. He'll come back to the United States on the following conditions, ABC. And he kind of came out of the blue because the last time I saw the father was after the story broke. He said he hadn't spoken to his son since April of, you know, a couple months ago.
Right.
Right. Now he's involved. I think he's trying to. Personally, I think he's going to end up in Iceland because that's he has to get there. And Iceland's not that far from Moscow. And I think they
right.
have the most. They're the more liberal of all the countries when it comes to granting asylum, except you have to be in the country when you ask for it. And that's where I think the back door is going to be. But, you know, maybe Obama
okay.
will scramble the jets. Maybe that was a smokescreen, and they'll, you know, they'll force them down and, you know, put them on trial.
Okay, tell you what, folks, we have a caller calling in. Who knows? It might be Edward Snowden. I'm going to put them on air. Hello, caller from 717. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hello, gentlemen. This is Mike from Pittsburgh. I'd like to talk actually about one of your subjects that I saw here on your show post, the George Zimmerman trial.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Why don't you hang tough? We'll be moving to Zimmerman in just a couple of minutes. So
sure.
Sit tight. Okay. So, Sam, you think Iceland might be the spot?
Yeah, just based upon, I think everything else was just a smokescreen. It's close to Moscow. I just think they, as a matter of fact, there were a bunch of businessmen or business people who were even going to put up the dough when he was in Hong Kong and had a plane by the ready. And it just seemed to me they were the ones most, the safest place for him to be and want him. I think for some reason, you know, the government can put, our government can put pressure on Ecuador. I mean, my God, you know, having Joe Biden do something. I thought he would disappear and was doing something else, but I saw that he decided to make a phone call the other day to his counterpart in Ecuador and plead with him not to let Snowden in.
Right.
Obama gave him something to do. There was, I guess there was no state funerals to go to.
Right. John, in my opinion, Snowden is an international leper. No one wants him. But they want his information, but no one wants to let him in the front door. Is that the way you see it?
No, not at all. I don't see the guy as a leper at all. I don't like that characterization. I look at him as a political prisoner seeking refugee or asylum in countries open to freedom and the rule of law. And I'd like to say about Iceland, I think Bobby Fischer sought asylum there. So, I mean, he was much more of a loon than Snowden. So they kind of have a history of this.
Well, I don't think, Fischer definitely was a loon, great chess player. But, yeah, he was in Iceland. I think he died there. And it was a self.
Didn't he play a game in Yugoslavia and he was banned? And then they wanted him for playing chess, which was absurd.
There were some really weird things. I forget what he did to get in trouble.
Fled to
Iceland.
Iceland. They have a history of taking in political prisoners. It's kind of like sanctuary. And thank God there is a country like that.
I thought that's what Los Angeles was.
Yeah, we're a sanctuary city for other reasons.
Well, you know, there should be a sanctuary country. I mean, there were sanctuary cities set up in the Bible long, 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 long time ago. There should be. And I'm like John, I agree with you. I'm glad there is a country like Iceland willing to grant sanctuary to some people because obviously Snowden's never going to get a fair trial in this country.
No.
Right. I mean, where's Obama going to go?
You know what I was thinking, though, Simon? Wasn't it Putin who, I don't know if it was under his regime or not, but the leader of Ukraine actually ingested some radioactive isotopes in his fish? Remember that? I think it was in England.
But you have the story kind of wrong.
It was a journalist, wasn't it?
I think he was a Ukrainian politician, and they attempted to assassinate him by basically nuking him.
Yeah, it was polonium.
Polonium
pellet.
I wouldn't be eating anything suspicious if I were Snowden.
Right. Well, and avoid people with umbrellas.
After he ceases to be useful, who knows what's going to happen to him? I don't think he's got many friends. He better get out of there quick.
Right. I think the bottom line here is he has nowhere to go. No
maybe
one
Iceland
really
like
wants him. Although Cuba hasn't said anything, I doubt Cuba wants him because Cuba would be much happier, having a trade relationship with the U.S. Yeah, after 40 years of frostiness and giving. A safe harbor to Snowden would definitely set that process back.
I think China could bribe any country to take him.
But why, what's in it for China?
Well, for one thing, he has a lot to say about how we've been hacking into the Chinese defenses for years. They can get a lot of mileage out of that because we've been accusing them of that. And
right.
I think look at the Middle East. It seems like Russia and China have lined up on one side and we're on the other. So I think they can get a lot of mileage and maybe build their prestige around the world.
Okay, there's someone that has a tremendous amount of noise in the background.
Yeah, I know,
there's
like a bird.
Right. Whoever it is, move somewhere out of the wind, out of the area of the birds.
You know what it could be? One of those mosquito drones.
Is it gone now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, must have been me. Sorry, guys.
Right.
I thought I have to go into my. I go into the room where the NSA can't spy on me.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about
perfect.
That.
Perfect. You were using the white noise technology. Yeah, it defeats bugs.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all in agreement. He's screwed. Yeah, Snowden.
I don't think he's screwed yet. I don't think, you know, I mean, like you said, the hotel could be, you know, a flea bag. I mean, we don't know that. But maybe he is getting special treatment from, you know, the Russians, and they're helping him. And, you know, obviously Putin's using it as an embarrassment extraordinaire to Obama. That's for sure. And I don't know what type of bargaining chip that we have with the Russians. The only thing I can think about is Syria. And their side and the Russian side is winning. So, I just don't know what Obama can offer. Obviously nothing to get China, Hong Kong, or Russia to say, hey, give us Mr. Snowden, and we'll give you what? Nothing? You know, I mean, it's hard to say.
We'll give you a McDonald's franchise.
I think Snowden's going to end up somewhere fine. And like John, I agree with you. He's a whistleblower. He's not a leper. And maybe the Russians are debriefing him. He supposedly has laptops with him and all sorts of information. And, you know, why would Putin not want to get as much information from him as he could, one, and two, at the same time, poking the United States in the eyes with his fingers?
It almost signals a ramp-up of Cold War II.
Yeah, if both sides are willing to play it, I don't think both sides are. You know, I don't think the United States, you know, or if they are playing it, we play it in the proxy war in the Middle East.
Right. Okay. I've had enough of Edward Snowden. Let's change subject. I've been watching the George Zimmerman trial, and I'm beginning to feel deja vu. You know, what looked like an airtight prosecution became anything but. The rot started with the prosecution star witness, Rachel Gentel, who clearly lacks some social skills, has the smarts of a rock, and knows how to annoy all the wrong people. The freight train continued downhill with no brakes when the prosecution put on Jonathan Good. Frankly, these two witnesses have put the prosecution behind the eight ball. I mean, why even call them? If you're going to be running a prosecution, you know, stick with witnesses that, you know, can support your story rather than someone that's going to disrupt your story. Sam, did you see any of the food fight?
I'm just trying to wonder how Rachel can't read cursive but could write her name, could sign her name for a letter. That was my favorite line. And I don't know if anybody saw the movie Precious, but she looked just like the actress who played that. It was a very disturbing movie, by the way, and deserved all the accolades that it got because it was based on a true story. She looked exactly like the young actress who played Precious in that movie. Anyway, and the facial expressions on her and the social skills, I think you're being too kind when you talk about her, Simon. But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's like if this would have been a Perry Mason movie, after John Good testified, I thought the defense was going to get up and go, "The defense rests, Your Honor."
John, do you have any thoughts?
A couple things. I'll make them quick because I want to hear the person who called in, who probably is more passionate about it than I am, but. A couple observations, Simon. I think you're being too hard on the young girl. She was thrust into that position, I think, against her will. Obviously, the DA and the investigators made a huge mistake by interviewing her in front of the victim's mother and her attorney. And I think she said a lot just to placate the mom, not to hurt her feelings. And they obviously didn't prepare her properly. She was basically an adverse witness because she didn't want to be there. And they didn't even take the time to – she's probably illiterate. I feel bad for her. She's a sympathetic figure to me because they didn't even take the time. It's just full speed ahead. Let's just convict them and get this over with. And I think people should remember, too, that the local DA chose not to file charges. The state had to come in and file the charges because it was a bad case to begin with. And when you got lemons to work with, you're going to make lemonade.
All right. But John, don't you feel that the prosecution has really, really screwed up here?
Have never been filed. This was never a murder case. At best, manslaughter, but it's politically motivated. If Zimmerman's convicted, he'll be a political prisoner just like Snowden would be. It seems like there's a lot of political prisoners or possibly political prisoners in this country today, and I think it's a shame. Probably a lot more than we know about with this Justice Department.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's bring our caller on the line. 717, I do apologize. I've forgotten your name, but the microphone is yours.
Okay, guys. Thanks. No problem at all. Guys, I want to talk about the pink elephant in the room. What happens if George Zimmerman is acquitted and found not guilty? I think there's a firestorm brewing. I think the media is setting this up just like a movie to turn this into a huge event the day he gets acquitted. And there's a lot of groups out there ready to basically, if not protest, even take it to a step farther. My problem, guys, is this. The jury right now, even though they're sequestered, you can't sequester them completely. Do you think, they would be intimidated to put a not guilty plea out there for the repercussions that they might get once they get out of the jury and this is said and done? There's going to be a target on their back if they put not guilty. Now, Trayvon Martin's family can see the jury. His friends can see the jury. The media can see the jury. So it's not like these jurors are going to be able to hide and it's like no one ever knew who they were. If George Zimmerman's found not guilty, this guy can't just walk out of the courtroom and go to his house and, like, you know, life is normal. He's going to have a target on his back, too. So you almost have to put this guy into a witness protection type of situation. Final point, guys, the media. I have a big problem with CNN, Fox News. They're turning this into an event for ratings. That's all they're talking about, and they're setting this up for, if it's a not guilty verdict, for a big event and a firestorm that's just going to go off.
Please hang on the line. You are bringing up some interesting comments. John, don't I recall some riots in L.A. back in the late 80s, maybe early 90s? Yeah. With a guilty verdict.
I think it was 92, the Rodney King riots. They rioted
right
after the Valley not guilty riot.
Right. Mm-hmm. I could see the same thing happening here. If he's found guilty, life will be good. If he's acquitted, will the African American population, rise up and create havoc?
I said last week, yes, I believe so.
Well,
I think people
what about
like Al Jackson will fire him up to divert
right.
attention away from the economic reality of their lives, they'll blame this.
Sure. And Sam, what do you think?
First of all, I want to thank the caller. You brought up some great points. Well articulated them very well.
Yeah.
As I said last week too, Simon, I agreed with John. If this verdict is not guilty and he walks, there's going to be riots. It's going to be a long, hot summer in America in big cities. And as you know, as John correctly pointed out, as a perfect excuse, so, you know, look what's going on in Chicago. It's a powder keg every day, every weekend. There's 7 to 8, 10 killings. Detroit looks like Berlin after World War II. You know, there's just all sorts of inner city problems in this country with economic problems that haven't got better despite the media and this administration and the Congress's and Wall Street's hocus pocus moves consistently to tell us that the market, everything's good. I think this. The other thing, but here's the other thing, because I am a conspiratorial nut. It wouldn't surprise me, as the caller has pointed out, that some people know who these people in the jury are. They're not anonymous. There's six of them there. There's six white females, and I think they did take the jury cases because they wanted to have that target on their back, as you said, caller. They want to sell their stories. They want to make some money on this. They want to capitalize on it. And they may find him guilty just in order to, you know, they may be getting pressure from what we don't know to find some sort of a guilty plea is exactly not to have riots. So I'm kind of caught in between. I don't know which way it's going to go, but it's, when you see the witnesses that Simon's been talking about, sure doesn't look good for the prosecutors right now.
Guys, a quick point. Another problem I see is when this case first came out about a year ago, President Obama came out and said Trayvon Martin would remind him of a son if he had one. That kind of puts Obama in here in a box if he's found not guilty. And when you have your leader on one side of the issue of the country and it goes another way, I mean, where is that going to leave us? I can honestly see people getting into the jury's head. At first, it might have been good, you know, when they thought, okay, we can, you know, take this case on. But let's be honest, you know, this is the real world. As this trial goes on this week, I would say the week following this week, when you kind of see it coming to an end, you're going to see a lot more, you know, the police presence or whatever. But, you know, when you're president of your own country, sides with Trayvon Martin, it kind of is scary if it goes the opposite way.
I absolutely agree. And I think Obama made a huge error in judgment in even, you know, mentioning the situation. It's a no-win situation. You know, What is the best outcome you can see?
Myself, is if they give in and give George Zimmerman manslaughter. Obviously, they're not going to get murdered too. But if you let him out acquitted without giving him anything at all, I just think the outrage and the emotion is going to be overwhelming. If you give him manslaughter, which probably by law, he doesn't get, at least it's going to appease the masses somewhat, and he would have done some jail time. But the problem with that is if this whole self-defense in Florida law, if the defense, they don't have to prove it. The prosecution has to prove that, you know, he killed him without self-defense. If they can, the self-defense is what's the problem here. George Zimmerman, guys, probably is responsible. He went picking a fight with Trayvon Martin, and it turned around. Martin turned it on him and was on top of him, beating him up. But if you go by Florida law, the self-defense law, then by court, Zimmerman should get off. So that's the problem here, it's a catch-22. The whole trial is just a big mess up, and, you know, like you said, no one's going to win here.
Right. Sam, what I see is a huge feeding frenzy by the press, which really isn't helping anyone achieve anything.
Well, that's the society we live in now. It's a, you know, the next trial will be the Hernandez trial, and this and that. They live off this stuff. They look at the ratings during the day. I mean, there's nothing going on. There's no. I mean, this is. I mean, they live for this stuff. And if you've noticed, you know, what I've noticed is CNN now is more like the Today Show. I mean, it used to be a pretty political station. Now it's getting into the Zimmerman trial more than Fox or MSNBC is, because they you know, MSNBC is the mouthpiece for the Democrats, Fox is the mouthpiece for the Republicans, and they'll show a little bit of Zimmerman trial, except when Al Sharpton's on, blah, 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 then it's all, you know, it's all that stuff all the time. So I...
Okay, tell you what, Sam, I hate to cut you short. We're going to take another caller. Someone coming in from area code 805. Who? Hello, caller from 805. What's your name?
Frank. This is Frank, and I actually know John. I worked with him many, many years ago.
Oh, I feel sorry for you.
John's a good guy, and I'm sure that goes without saying. I have to say, what I just heard right now is extremely unsettling to me. Specifically, I'm talking about this thought that it might even possibly be in the interest of this country to sacrifice an innocent man simply to avoid civil unrest or protests. I have to remind everybody, though, you know, one of the things that really sets America apart from other countries around the world is that we are a true, or we're supposed to be anyway, a true constitutional republic. And that's different than just a run-of-the-mill democracy. And the reason is because it's outlined in our Constitution, our very fabric, if you will, that every single human being or citizen in this country is entitled to certain rights, regardless of what the rest of society wants to do. In other words, you can't have, you know, the old proverbial saying about, you know, democracy as opposed to a constitutional republic is three wolves and a lamb voting on what's for dinner.
Right.
Okay, but you know, you also need to consider what's going to happen with certain decisions. Just look back at the Rodney King debacle.
I understand that. I'm sorry, am I interrupting you?
No.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, and that's clearly an issue, but if we have gotten to the point where we will sacrifice an innocent man simply to avoid uncomfortable repercussions of the correct decision, we're done. I mean, that's eroding our very, you know, the core fiber of this country. I was trying to articulate that. I don't know if I did so successfully, but
you did a great job.
It's never, ever acceptable to do that.
Okay, caller from 717. I like the idea of having a, you know, a fresh brain on this. What would you say in response?
I agree with them 100%. But look at this. If the day of the verdict, you know, if there's gatherings outside the courtroom and in the big cities, and you can almost see like a Rodney King situation that's imminent if Zimmerman's found not guilty, I don't know what you do, to be honest with you, because yes, if he's found guilty just because of the masses, then our country is going downhill quick. But the way I would look at it, and it's not right. I'm not saying it at all. It could be one man's life for hundreds, and that's the problem you have. I don't have any idea what you do. This, like you said before, this should not even be in court. But it was kind of influenced, you know, from our own president even, and, you know, other civil groups. So everybody's in a situation. And now, I can't give you a good answer, but I'll say this. If George Zimmerman is found guilty, you're probably just going to hear a lot of people complaining. But if he's found not guilty, there's going to be actual violence.
Ouch. I mean, that's... A pretty brutal statement.
Simon?
John?
Come on, go ahead.
This is Frank. I wanted to respond to that, if I may.
Sure.
Please, Frank.
Okay. My response to that is, yes, it could be very well be troublesome or problematic you know, in the extreme, if there's a not guilty verdict that is, you know, that's arrived at. However, think about it in the big picture, gentlemen. Hasn't this country historically been willing to do the hard thing and basically sacrificed our blood and treasure to preserve what we have? My point is that if we're willing to just do that for political or I don't know what kind of expediency you'd call it, basically just for comfort, for avoiding protests and riots, we're willing to, for all intents and purposes, get rid of our Constitution and sacrifice an innocent man, it's unacceptable. There's no dilemma here. There's no dilemma at all if we're really thinking clearly about this and we want to preserve our country and what it stands for. The decision is easy. It's how you deal with it that may be difficult, but that doesn't make the decision difficult at all for me.
Okay, Frank. Understand the decision is being made by six ladies. I believe five of them are white and one is Hispanic. But, you know, you can fact check me on that. They likely, and I don't know this, but they likely, you know, some are married, some have kids, etc., etc. Even though they're sequestered, you know, I'm sure this is weighing heavily on their minds. You know,
I would agree.
With, yeah, you know, how do they come up with?
But it still doesn't change. What we're debating really is whether those that are going to render a decision. Again, this is all assuming that there isn't some evidence we haven't seen yet that would warrant a guilty verdict. But unless they have something that I haven't seen or heard about, and I've followed it pretty closely. There's absolutely no grounds for a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt for second degree, no way. But the point I'm making is that, again, the decision is clear. Now, whether they have the moral courage to do the correct thing is another issue, and how we deal with what could possibly be violence following the correct decision is yet again another issue, but those should be looked at differently. It doesn't change what the correct thing to do is, assuming that there is not sufficient evidence for a conviction.
Could I ask the caller something? Could I ask Frank something, the caller?
Sure.
In your opinion, sir, the jury, do you think that, you know, probably come here in a week or so towards the end of the trial, they're going to feel that pressure that if they give a not guilty plea, that they could have a target on their back, just like George Zimmerman when they walk out of that courtroom? Because let's face it, George Zimmerman, if he's found not guilty, he's just not going to be able to walk out of the courtroom and go home with his family. Like I said earlier, it could be an instance where he has to be put in a witness protection type of thing. And the jury as well, they're women. I mean, I feel bad for him because if I'm in my situation with my family, I'm thinking about it, you know, is someone going to come and hunt me down because I was, you know, put a not guilty verdict out and because of that, George Zimmerman's walking free. So I guess my question is, do you see that coming more into play here at the end of the trial, questioning about whether the trial might be a mistrial completely just because, you know, of intimidation or what they might face once they're out in the real world?
Yes, absolutely. And not only that, beyond that, I think there is going to be plenty of pressure simply in an indirect manner, if you will. In other words, not only are they going to be concerned about their own safety, I think they're going to be concerned about all the things that the gentlemen have brought up, including yourself, which is, you know, the aftermath of a not guilty verdict. That's going to probably weigh heavy on them as well. So we have a real... you know, if they do the right thing, you know, we could include them in another chapter of what was JFK's book he wrote, Profiles in Courage. But the point is, none of it changes what the correct thing is to be done. And I guess that's the real point I'm trying to make, is that let's not forget what is the proper thing to do, and in the big picture, to lose that by caving in and going guilty or going with a guilty verdict, there would be a bigger loss than whatever's going to follow with rioting.
Sam, I have to ask you. I know I kind of dragged you into the Casey Anthony case.
No, not her again.
Not her again. But, you know, she was found not guilty. And there weren't any riots, but I doubt she could even get a job at the local McDonald's. Life-changing. And primarily because the media got hold of the story. The media picks and chooses that there are lots and lots of murders that happen every day. In fact, you know, if you live in Detroit, you could probably publish an entire you know, newspaper every day just on the murders that have occurred in the last 24 hours. No one cares. Is the media wrong in, you know, picking up these cases? You know, OJ, certainly Jodi Arias, and now this one. Is the media going overboard?
No, not they're in business to make money in itself. Personally, do I think they are? Yeah, the media hasn't been the same since Walter Cronkite retired. You know, I mean, that's what the news hasn't been. We live in a 24-hour news day. Everyone's a photographer with a cell camera. Everyone's looking to make the post it on YouTube or whatever to do that. The social media has changed things. So this is what people want to see. I mean, at my bar, it's on. When there's a case on, this trial's on. The Zimmerman trial, all the other ones. The difference is, and I think the callers are making great points here, and I appreciate your input, gentlemen, is you know, with Casey Anthony, she was guilty. I mean, I really believe that, but she was found innocent. And like you said, she's not a pariah because for whatever reason. It appears from watching and reading what I've read through media sources and others and listening to people who have, more knowledge about me, about the law in Florida, stand your ground and all that. Just the witnesses who have already been on the stand, that George Zimmerman is not guilty. His story is consistent. The witnesses' stories are consistent. The one gentleman, good, who heard him, the cop saying he cried for help, the grass stains on his back, go on and on and on. All these little things are really stand. The evidence, the fabric of evidence, is really creating a not guilty verdict blanket for Zimmerman. So. Unless, like one of the callers said, I forgot which one, are they going to pull a Perry Mason surprise witness out or detail? I don't think they can because it would have came out in discovery and depositions and whatnot, which made Rachel look like a terrible because she told one story to one person, one story in a deposition, another story on trial. So therefore, I'd like to think. You know, the one caller from California, he brought up a great point. If he's not guilty, but they find him guilty, so they avert race riots or this or that, that says a terrible thing about our country. And I agree with him wholeheartedly. Problem is, our country's been going down that sewer for a long time. Due process of law doesn't exist anymore. It used to. I live in the state of Ohio. The minute a cop pulls you over, your due process begins. It's not a trial anymore. You don't go to trial anymore. You don't get a chance to present your case anymore, regardless of might be. We live in a police state because there's a lot of money in the police state, and the government, at least in the state of Ohio, I can't speak for California, and our federal government are squeezing our rights down, and they have been for years because it's about control, and if they can control things, they're going to try to control things.
Now, at this point, I should... tell our listeners Sam is a big fan of Rand Paul.
Thank you. I am. And look, one of the, and that's when we found out about drone strikes, didn't we? And what did he find out? That the FBI, because of him, no one knew it, but we found out because they were changing FBI directors that the FBI has a drone fleet. And we have secret courts. Let's all go back to Snowden about what the callers were talking about. Is our country in trouble constitution with the Constitution? Yes, it is. And anybody who doesn't believe that isn't really seriously paying attention. Our government, Republicans and Democrats, the status quo, the big corporations and all the stuff, they want, and big unions and big everything, they want total control. That's why you tried to see gun control. That's why you tried to see they have the drones. They've been spying on us. I mean, why? What are we doing wrong? Is it, we're all paying our taxes. We're all doing the best we can to survive in a very terrible economy, yet our government's people are making big money. They want to continue to make big money. They lie to Congress. They lie about drones. They lie about this. So, you know, why wouldn't they lie? Why wouldn't they, you know, put pressure on a jury to find an innocent person guilty? I mean, I hate to say that, I know that sounds far-fetched and whatnot, but I also believe, listeners and the callers and everything, I also believe that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't act alone.
May I respond to that? Simon, may I respond to that? You made some great points or raised some great questions. I believe I know what is motivating what we're seeing right now with the Zimmerman case, and I have a question for you, Simon, because I understand that you are, for all intents and purposes, a man of the left. So my question for you is, would you agree that historically the left has been more concerned with pointing the finger of blame and accusation against white society when it comes to treatment of blacks than they are in really improving the position of blacks? And I'm talking about around the world, and I offer as an example of the whole back, you know, the apartheid era back in, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, when there was really effective mobilization of liberals around the world to address the apartheid issue of South Africa. Well, I think we probably all agree that that was unacceptable, or that was not the best system of government. But good grief, compared to the rest of the continent of Africa, that was still the best place to live for black persons. And that's evidenced by the fact that you know, everybody in Africa, for, I shouldn't say everybody, but many people in Africa wanted to immigrate to South Africa out of the other African countries. But the only country that got any attention was South Africa. And I contend that that's simply because it was a white government of the Afrikaners, and you know, in keeping with what I just said, that's what they want to do more than anything else. They, being the left, is point the finger at the white society. And I think what we're seeing in this country is another example of it. It's like, good grief, there are so many things we should be trying to do as a country to improve the plight of inner city black folks. And John and I have seen it firsthand. It makes you, you know, it almost wants to bring you to tears sometimes. It's very sad, and yet we're seeing the focus completely on other stuff. And this is another example of that.
I have to disagree with you. Yes, I do lean left, but I have to correct you. I got involved with the South African situation when the place was still called Rhodesia, and it was the early 70s. I hated
apartheid.
Well,
that's you're talking about Zimbabwe, not South Africa, then, if you're talking about Rhodesia.
No, Rhodesia became South Africa.
No, Zimbabwe, Frank's right.
Okay, but anyway, I hated apartheid. I have no use for it.
That's fine, but it was out of context compared. In other words, I hate having a nasty splinter or a blister, but if we've got somebody who's got a arterial bleed, you address the arterial bleed and worry about the painful blister or splinter at a later time. If you'll follow my analogy or metaphor.
Right. Have no interest in someone's color or creed. I'm only interested in the person.
I think we probably all agree with that.
Right. Equality for all. There's nothing more to say on that.
Well, I respect that, and I'm not surprised by that answer. And like I said, I think all the gentlemen in this conversation would probably agree. So, but you're not really directly answering my question because, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, let me back up. If the objective, and we stay focused on the objective, is to do the most good for the most black persons in Africa or Africans, why would we focus on the country of South Africa when that's still the best, you know, quality of life just about for on the continent?
Can I give an answer? There's only one reason.
Absolutely.
South Africa was picked, and I agree with you, part of it was it was the white majority in the apartheid system. The second reason was diamonds, my friend, has money. International, the international language of Sturston Howell III would say money. That's why.
So what was the
other
advantage?
Countries, for the most part, didn't have a lot of wealth to it. Didn't have a lot of export import. South Africa could because they had the diamond industry. And
so
other,
are you saying
other,
that
other
they wanted a more stable government? Am I following you?
The what?
So you're saying that because there was monetary motive here that they. That the world had an interest in a more stable government for that reason? Or
more interest in to get rid of that stable government to put another government in there to make themselves look good.
They're still
getting their money. It was the politically correct thing to do. And that happens on an international level, too. And, you know, that way they all look good. Everybody who's involved in the big powers that be around the world, from the political powers that be to the celebrities to the unions to the big corporations and other governments, all came out smelling like roses because they took up their money. They took up the diamond flow still goes, the this and that. It just changed governments. And there was probably a lot of people who owned, I'm sure, you know, that's what happened. You know, I mean, that's the way our world has worked for years. And it's worse now since post-World War II. It's all about the money, whether it's petrodollars or diamonds or now weapons and what have you. That's why Snowden is so important to the world right now, because his whole thing was about information. And we live in the information age, and this is about information.
The heavy players in the South African situation were people of the left, and I've never really thought they were, moving to the beat of that drum, at least those at the grassroots level.
You know, you think the left wants money too?
Well, I said at the grassroots level,
higher
up the ladder.
You know, apartheid was, I don't know a lot about apartheid, so I'm going to defer to everybody else who does. But obviously, just like slavery was an institution in our country that had to go, basically because it was so embarrassing, it was the number one reason, but it's about money too. The slave issue was about money because people up north who owned the factories had to pay wages, even though they were 1 cent a day. There was still a heck of a lot more money than paying somebody nothing. And the South could manufacture things. It's all about money. That's what you have to realize.
We're getting a little far afield here, but I would submit to you that it was cheaper to use immigrants than to use slaves to do a lot of the factory work.
There's a lot of studies out. A great study was done. I won a Pulitzer Prize that showed it was a slave. I forget the name of the book. I could, get it to you at some point. I'll give you my email address.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word for it. You've done your research. I haven't looked into that. So
it's in a book called The Age of Betrayal.
Bringing this back to the topic, I would still, whether you want to accept the South African model as evidence of my theory or not, I think that. With all the awful things going on in the inner city now, in terms of young black men mostly losing their lives, for that to be ignored while they're focusing on the Zimmerman incident clearly supports my theory.
But I have to ask the question. I lived in or very close to Detroit. I've lived and been close to many large cities. How do you fix it? You know, what is the magic tool?
Well, I don't think there is a magic tool. I think it would involve a lot of hard work, and the longer it goes on, the harder it's going to be. But I think that it really, it's going to sound, it's going to sound like a platitude, but the reality is it comes down to people's values, and how we instill those values becomes problematic. But nonetheless, let's at least agree that we have to instill values that are going to prime people for success in life. And we're seeing those evaporate. It started in, you know, the inner cities, but it's certainly gone far past the inner cities now. We're losing a lot of the traditional values, and some of the traditional values were maybe not so good and could have used a little fine-tuning. I'll agree to that. But to throw all of our traditional values away and expect to have a good result is silly.
Hey, guys, I actually have to go, but just a final thought, and I would like, Frank, I would like your prediction, put your thinking cap on, and tell me what you think the outcome of the George Zimmerman trial will be. I think he's going to get manslaughter, because I just can't see him walking out scot-free because of the repercussions and turmoil it might cause. So I would just like your, if you had to guess 2-3 weeks from now, how does this verdict come out?
Well, that's a tough one, and I'll tell you, because the missing variable that I would need in order to make that decision, I would have to know about the character of the jurors, and I have absolutely no idea what kind of character they're comprised of or that they're made of, so I have no idea. Wouldn't even venture a guess at this point. I think you have all raised the issues that are very real in terms of motivations to come down with the guilty verdict, and then also the fact that it's becoming increasingly clearer that unless something comes up that we haven't seen yet, there's not going to be a legal justification for a guilty verdict. So it all comes down, with that in mind, it comes down to the courage of the jurors.
Sam, same question. What's your prediction?
Based on, I like what both the gentlemen have said, especially what Frank said, but I'm not knowing the character. But I like to make predictions, you know, so, you know, I don't know the character either. Now, this could change. Like I said, we have not seen the defense put their witnesses on. Of course, all they have to do is just rerun the Rachel and John's witnesses
right.
From last week. But I would say not guilty. And because I'd like to believe that, this, you know, as much as I know the system's falling apart, the wheels have come off, the engine needs to be replaced and all that in our society, I hate to see innocent people suffer because they've done nothing wrong. I mean, he protected himself, and based upon what we're seeing, and his testimony has been consistent. My prediction is not guilty. My prediction is riots. And my prediction is maybe that's what we have another national debate in this country. And it seems like every 20 years we have to have these things. Rodney King, OJ, and all this other stuff. And now that we have an African-American president, now it's time to have this debate, and let's get it done. Because, Frank, I think you were talking about, you know, the inner city and all this stuff, and why isn't it working? And I go back to what I said earlier. It doesn't. John Perry will probably echo my thoughts because we share these the same. All these big government programs, the war on drugs, the war on poverty, the Great Society, and all the don't work for the people that they're supposed to. It does work for big government. It does work for the status quo. It does create misery for those that are supposed to help and great comfort for those who are supposed to be providing that help. And that's something
I agree 100%. In fact, I use the analogy of the dope dealer on the street corner. You know, he wants to create the need and does so effectively to line his own pockets. And while the drugs that he provides the users or victims with may make them feel good at first, as time goes on, it does anything but.
Okay, and John, your thoughts?
Hey, Simon, first I'd like to thank the callers for elevating the level of discourse on this program. They've made a lot more sense than I ever have. Thanks, guys. regarding the Simon, you should get their numbers. These guys are good. Of course, I know Frank for years. He's far more intelligent than I am. But regarding the verdict, I concur with Sam. I remain sanguine regarding the integrity of the American jury system. I don't know why, but there's absolutely no evidence to convict this poor guy. And he's a political prisoner if he is convicted. And I would hope he's granted bail pending appeal, and maybe he can defect to Iceland with Snowden.
Actually, Snowden has been given status in Ecuador, but of course he can't get there.
Oh, is this breaking news?
No.
I thought the president of Ecuador said he couldn't make a decision unless he was on Ecuadorian territory.
Oh no, sorry. I'm talking about the WikiLeaks guy.
Oh, Assange.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
But he's stuck in the London embassy, so
right, he's in an embassy.
Bubble and squeak.
Right.
He can't get out of London.
Didn't
no,
I see
he
a movie
can't...
starring Denzel Washington that has a similar story? Where something about being in an embassy and didn't it come under attack or something while he was seeking asylum there? I don't know. Maybe I'm confused.
I'm almost tempted to play a musical clip, but I won't. It's called Lonely Geek Boy. written by a friend of mine. It is quite cute.
I thought maybe that was your autobiography.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, guys, I got to go, but it was a great debate, and I'll definitely be calling after this trial because I'm sure there's going to be a lot to discuss after it's over. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank
you.
Nice talking to you. Okay, well, I think I'm going to leave as well, gentlemen. This was really a nice way to spend part of my Saturday afternoon. Thank you all.
Thank you. You
are more than welcome. And
okay,
please join us again.
Hey, Frank, I expect you to make a convert of Simon.
I don't know. I've often said that my friends on the left seem to adhere to their ideology the way a religious zealot holds on to their religion, and so I think that's one of the reasons that the Republican Party has so much divisiveness in it, because none of us really agree on all the issues. So, anyway.
Right.
All right, gentlemen. Good day.
All right, we'll
have
a great time. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Let's change subjects. And let's talk about Paula Deen and the infamous N-word. I don't own any of her cookbooks. I don't own stock in her company. I don't have anything that has the Paula Deen brand on it. Frankly, I find it kind of boring. You know, she's just a, you know, older lady, kind of dumpy, you know, comes from the deep south, and, you know, that's all she is. But why is she being hounded over the N-word? Sam, would you like to try it?
I can't believe that if she had just said this recently, I understand that. But this is 30 years ago, I believe, she said it. Is it that long? It might have been even longer than that.
Right.
Okay. I am, like, flabbergasted again, I didn't even know who she was, to be honest with you, till the story happened. I thought it was Jimmy Dean. Is she related to Jimmy Dean, John?
I don't know, Sammy. I haven't really followed it.
I didn't follow it either. There's so much more important things. However, her life. She's now, but Ben. She didn't kill anybody. She didn't steal from anybody. She didn't commit, all sorts of other crimes that are out there. All she said was something stupid 30 years ago. I don't know if it was in context or out of context, and I think it's amazing how far politically correctness has gone, that it can reach back into your past 30 years ago and literally destroy you. And that's a real indictment on the society that we live in called America.
Oh, all right. I live in the, quote, deep south. And I can sit out on my porch, which I do almost every day, reading books or doing what I do. And I can have little kids walk by, calling each other the N-word. And that's just fine. How come it's okay for 8 and 9 year old kids to use it if they're of American or African American extraction, but if us white crackers dare use it, suddenly we're in big trouble? I hear silence.
Well, Tom, I had a question. You're from the deep south. Is it so deep that your local high school, the prom queen was nicknamed Bubba?
Okay, John. I'd like to try and keep this fairly serious. Live in L.A., all right, there is a significant population of minorities, and I'm sure that you have heard the N-word more than once.
I've been called it many times.
I don't doubt it.
Along with creepy-ass cracker.
That's okay to say that word. Our phrase, crazy-ass cracker. We learned that.
Creepy-ass cracker.
Right.
I was called both of them. Yeah, of course, Simon. They're pejoratives. That's the way. Look, all you have to do, I don't watch it, but look at MTV. Why is it acceptable in a music video? I guess it's cultural, but I just look at this as an extortion attempt based on the usual race hustlers to extort some money out of Paula Deen and make themselves relevant again.
I can spend 5 minutes in my stepson's car
mm-hmm.
with the speakers blaring, and the N-word is in almost every song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use it. I'll be the first to admit that on occasions I have uttered it. So big deal. Yeah, what? Why pick on Paula Deen?
Well, she puts off.
I see Jesse Jackson's on TV trying to make money out of it.
There you go.
Yeah, trying to line the coffers of Rainbow Push or whatever his organization.
And Al Sharpton gets to sell advertising, and so does Emma. It's all about the money.
It's an extortion attempt. No one cares. I remember when they used to go to corporations and NASCAR and basically say, if you don't give me $1 million, I'm going to say you're racist.
Right.
That's all it is. And then they give them $1 million, and next thing you know, they were the best things ever regarding affirmative action. And
Jesse Jackson got a position on the board.
Yeah, or his kids, and,
yep.
or a Budweiser distributorship,
yep.
whatever they got. And next thing you know, there's no more protest. It's just an extortion attempt. It's been going on for years.
But you know what? But this is a great point and subject you brought up, Simon. It's almost a subplot to are there going to be riots or not. Think about
it. But, Sam, if Paula Deen donated $1 million to Rainbow Push, this would all stop.
Right, I know, but here's what I'm trying to say, though. The fact that this became a hot-button issue on the heels of what the simple, well, a lot of people in America who have a brain in their head are thinking what we all talked about with the callers, are there going to be racial riot if Zimmerman and Sam not guilty? That's why it's an important issue.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Right.
It's down. You follow the point I'm making?
Yeah.
That, I mean, we live in a society now that a woman, a successful woman, white woman, said something 30 years ago, probably got bad grades too or something, I don't know, and she's not paying for it, and a lot, she's now, you know, she ain't going to bounce back like Martha Stewart, okay? But Martha Stewart did was a lot more serious than what Paula Deen did. But anyway, that goes hand in hand. That type of, it's political correctness run amok. We were all warned about this by many, many people. As a matter of fact, Simon, you were talking about your stepson's the choice of music, where the N-word pops out. Do you remember who was the first person to speak out about all that bad rap music way back in the 80s at a Time Warner?
Charlton Heston.
Thank you very much, John Perry. I'm impressed.
Of course.
He spoke out about The Cop Killer by, I think it was Ice-T. I can still remember it.
Yeah.
And it was, but because Charlton Heston, who was the president of the NRA, did it, all the, you know, the left, you know, rallied around, you know, it's censorship, it's this, and you got to do it. But that was the BS. It's about money.
Right.
Those music videos make money, no matter how many, you know, we're going to rape you, kill you, N-word, cracker word, whatever you want to say. There's money in it. So they don't care.
Right. But,
and that's
but also,
what it comes down to, and then, you know, and then, but.
But also, Sam, the left has convinced a certain segment of society that only white people can be racist. Blacks can't.
I agree with you. I mean, you know, except if you're listening to Dr. Bill Cosby speak, and some other people out there.
CBS Tracker, that witness didn't think that was racial.
No, because she's been told that all her life.
You can't be
terrible.
Racist.
It's a double standard that is going to, the pendulum, as always happens throughout history in our societies, I think both you gentlemen will agree, when that pendulum swings so far one way, it's forced to swing back, and when it swings, it slices a lot of people's heads off. And we're going to see that happen.
It just bothers me. You know, I don't go around, you know, making racist remarks. I'm sure I have. I don't see why Paula Deen is, being fed to the sharks. It makes no sense.
Simon, you don't think Jesse Jackson and others are just exploiting this to make money? That's the only reason.
Of course they are.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
And no one will stand up to him. Here's the guy whose son's in jail because he learned from the best thief in the world, his father. His father, John's right, they extorted people. He had IRS problems that any other white person or Jewish person or Muslim person or Hispanic person or Oriental person would have been thrown in a federal penitentiary.
He's a reverend and had a kid out of wedlock.
And that's okay. I don't mind that he had sex with another woman and had a kid, but he lied on his taxes.
Hypocrisy being a reverend.
Yeah. Well, that's different, John. I mean, that's hypocrisy. He's no different than those other moron white guys who committed sins. What was the one, Simon, who cried on TV?
Who had sex with the reverend with
a hooker?
Jimmy Swaggart.
Yeah, okay,
right.
Okay, right.
Let's not forget the woman that wore
John, his sex life doesn't bother me. His fact he wears a collar
doesn't bother me.
Me
either. I'm just saying it's the height of hypocrisy.
What bothers me is he's been able to manipulate other his race and his being the guy by Martin Luther King's murder that he could rise up and
the people who he purports to represent have never been poorer. Their lives don't improve at all. Only he enriches himself.
Absolutely. And no one will call him on the carpet for that.
There's no trickle down. That $1 million contribution never trickles down to the
people. No, it trickles down to him and his family and, like you said, his select few. And I agree with you. The same thing. Look, Al Sharpton should still be behind bars for what he did. And he's on MSNBC, and no one points and politicians refuse. It's the same thing I have to deal with. You know, it's just like Mothers Against Drunk Driving. They want to cut the blood alcohol level down to 0.5. Okay, mm-hmm. They say, well, let's just bring prohibition back. That worked real well, everybody. And you got moron politicians talking about it. Okay, let's just bring back prohibition. Okay, you know, because the government made so much money off OVIs and DUIs, and it was keeping them alive, feeding that fat cow that's got to be sliced and diced. And until we do that, you know, at all levels, we're in big trouble. Not what the caller talked about. I think it was Frank, your friend John, about the inner cities and the plight of them, and he's right.
Yeah,
well, all of us are right about that. But why doesn't it work? Because the money's there to solve the problems. It never gets to where it's supposed to go to, because once then the problems are solved, that bureaucracy doesn't need to exist anymore, does it?
That's the thing. There's a symbiotic relationship. There's 100% party discipline maintained in those precincts. They vote 100% Democrat. If the people are lifted up and given a chance to go to schools and use vouchers and educate themselves, they'll become Republican. And the powers that be don't want that to happen, so they have a vested interest to keep them down. So that's
the only way we're going to improve our society, I think we have to get rid of political parties. I don't think we need
them. But the inner cities have been run by Democrats for over 50 years.
Oh, I agree with you. My same thing on where I live, in Mahoney County. Look what happened in Massachusetts for the special election.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, what, you know, I've always, and I think the founding fathers, you know, yeah, they split into two, then the political parties happened, but, you know, Washington, being the only independent president we ever had, you know, he wanted debate, and you can only have debate when you have people of different opinions. And we did at one point, but we grew into these two factions. Should be, I don't know why there's not more, but two factions, and they dominate the status quo. They dominate, you know, one says day, the other one says night. One says night, the other one says day. They don't want, they only agree on issues that line their own pockets and those of their friends. And everyone else be damned. It's a government, you know. What did Lincoln say, Simon? A government of the people, for the people, by the people. It's a government of big money, for big money, by big money. And both sides benefit from it, and that's a sad thing. And I hope by being part of this conversation with you and the people who listen and the people who call in, we just might be able to change that damn thing.
I just don't see it. Yeah, the whole political arena has turned into a multi-billion-dollar business. Unless you have multi-millions, you can't even run for president. And, you know, where did that start? I thought, you know, being president, being a member of Congress or the Senate, you know, was a gift that you gave to the country. Not so anymore.
Worse, and it gets worse by the day, I think. And I do agree with that, Simon. How do you do it? It goes back to what you were talking about, and you asked that question. The media has really failed us in this sense by being part of the status quo, left and right. We really don't have a media anymore. Where's the media watchdog? But if Nixon was president and did Watergate in today's world, he'd get away with it. There'd be no outcry. There'd be nothing. No one would care.
Nah, I mean, Fox would hush it up.
That's a sad thing. I'm amazed that, we have an IRS scandal that is just outrageous. So, you know, to me, it's the biggest scandal that's hit Washington since Watergate. Millions, an agency that's entrusted to you know, collect the tax money, give it to everybody, out blowing millions, giving millions of dollars in bonuses. Some of the money these people make are ridiculous. $180,000 a year to be a head of an IRS bureau somewhere, and then they can, and then they use their powers to destroy people, to make people's lives miserable. You're guilty before, and with the IRS, you're guilty before you have to prove your innocence. I mean, what the hell? And where's the oversight over them? Nowhere. They're getting worse than the EPA. There used to be clamps on them. $70 million in bonuses in this economy? I mean, I think the average IRS agent got a $40,000 year-end bonus.
Wow.
I mean, that's outrageous.
Oh, yeah, no shit.
I mean, that's ridiculous. And where's that money coming from? Me, you, John, Peter, Manny, people work at my bar, you know, it's like, where is the outrage in this country? Where's the outrage in the media? Go back to what you said, Simon, focusing on the trials. Ever think that's not part of the that's just a smokescreen to keep us glued in front of our TV sets, sucking our thumbs, watching mindless drivel, as opposed to really getting involved in what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that, John, you don't watch mindless drivel. You watch the more important programs like Jerry Springer and Days of Our Lives.
Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, Maury Povich, Simon. I was on as a guest last week, testing my DNA.
Oh, whoa. did he determine that you were human?
Yeah, I was ruled out.
something to do with what is that? Base 51, Area 51.
Yeah.
Ah, there's nothing wrong with Area 51.
Hey, listen, I believe that that place is a government base cover up too. Come on. I mean, why wouldn't they be? Why, you know, if, you know what it comes down to, guys? I mean, let's throw a little movie to show that we're not all, we know what goes on within television and movies and books and all that. That great movie, A Few Good Men, when Jack Nicholson gives that great, great speech about that people can't handle the truth.
Right.
About that. Yeah. I mean, it just really comes down to if the American people ever found out the truth about all these things we talked about, they couldn't handle it. And I think the government knows that, the status quo, as John says, and that's a much better word, and I got to start using that. The status quo knows that, and therefore it doesn't get out.
Well, Simon, let me ask you a question you would probably have a lot of passion about. What's up with Kim Kardashian naming her kid Northwest?
Say that again?
She named her
okay.
kid Northwest.
All right. John, I know you meant that as a poke.
No, it's a compliment. You're keeping your finger on the pulse of
right.
the
John,
topical issues.
I have no interest, zero interest, zip, nada, zilch.
I was just wondering who named
the Kardashians. I mean, if you want to talk about sensible things, talk about sensible things.
Oh,
but,
I just wanted to name direction.
I thought he named him Man of the.
I don't know. It could be, Sam, maybe you saw an update on it.
Man of the West. Guy like
yeah,
that.
I don't know.
I don't. But I know, but that sums up. How many more people were interested in that than they were?
I'm saying more people are interested in that than what affects their lives.
Yeah, and look, hey, look, John, on the same token, I know a lot of people who aren't interested in that type of stuff, but they can tell you who the first round, they can tell you everything about the incoming football class in USC.
And look at this Massachusetts election. They elect the guy, Markey. I think he's been involved in every skirmish in the country since the Whiskey Rebellion.
Yeah, absolutely. No question.
that's the kind of guy that we get in Washington, who's been there forever. So what's going to change?
Right, and he was challenged by a good guy, and you know, what Calvin Trump tell you is I think we have to realize.
With blood, you know, but no, we got to keep the guy who's been in for 150 years.
Right, and I think Gonzalez, I think that's what his name was, ran a great campaign. He had no money. I mean, the fact that Obama and Biden and everybody else had to go up there to save Markey's ass should tell you that maybe there is some hope. And he didn't beat that guy by much.
It doesn't matter. He won and
he won and he's done, but the same thing. Who's going to check? And John, you live in California. Do you guys have any Republicans in statewide office? Could a Republican become a United States senator?
No, we don't. I don't think we have any statewide.
Okay, so and I know Simon, you live in Missouri. What is it? Your state? What 60-40 Republican?
It's Mississippi.
I'm sorry, Mississippi. I don't know why I think of Mississippi. I always think of Missouri when I think of Mississippi. I think of the Mississippi River, and I think of Clemens. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? But that's me. So Mississippi never going to elect a Democrat. Okay, we know that. That's funny how that our political system, as Simon was talking about, is you can almost, when there's an election being held in a state, whatever that state is, you almost can tell, because of that state's cultural leanings or political leanings, where the election's going to go.
And
even if it means, like you said, John, electing a guy to Washington, giving him a promotion, whereas all he has done has been a failure as a member of the House of Representatives for 40 years.
I know. Even if it's a success, give someone else a chance. That's too long.
No, I agree with you. But you know, how are you going to get? We can't get term limits in because the Supreme Court doesn't want to do that anymore. You know, they don't reckon. They're not going to. The Supreme Court. You know, remember last year. They passed Obamacare. The Supreme Court now practices law to make government bigger. What's the one with the money? Simon, help me out.
Okay. The Supreme Court would never go for term limits because that would limit their own ability.
Right.
I mean, they don't do much.
And the Supreme Court, even 5-4, has been rubber stamping a bigger government and government overreach, federal government. Sometimes they work against the state, like against DOMA in California and some other things. But when it comes to increasing the size, scope, and power of the federal government, I can guarantee the Supreme Court's going to vote in favor of the big government.
Oh, absolutely. I don't want to sound like Manny here, but you know, if they're faced with a case that involves genetic engineering, they're going for it. Clarence Thomas was Monsanto's head waller for many years. The Supremes are ineffective, shall we say. But they're certainly not independent.
No, that's that. I mean, we definitely need some change, and I'm hoping that the Obama administration for right now has been stopped dead in the water with its agenda due to its scandals, due to its own incompetence. The problem is the people who are supposed to be cleaning up the mess aren't much better anyway. And you got a few voices out there, and I think Rand Paul's one of them. I think the senator from Oregon is Wyden, is that his name? Ron Wyden.
Yeah.
I think he's terrific. He's a Democrat, and he gets out there. He's for about the Constitution and things like that. So there are some people out there making some bang on the drum. The problem is it might be too little too late. Now, this immigration bill that's come by, that's going to be a conversation, I hope, at some point.
Oh, next week.
I think it's
going to be front and center. We're about almost flat out of time, so I have to thank you, gentlemen, John, any parting words for us?
I'd like to reiterate my gratitude for those callers. They, like I say, really did a good job, and I like it when different people call in, and good talking to you guys. Have a good week.
And John, it is always a delight to talk to you. Sam, your parting words.
One more thing. Tell your wife I said hi, Simon.
I will.
John, tell your wife we said hi. I want to say I had an excellent time today. It was a great show, Simon. A lot of energy. A lot of the callers made it. That was excellent. They were good and attentive. They know what's going on. That gives me a little hope in the world that what we talk about is getting out there and trying to educate some people and like-minded people who want to make this country a better place to be. And I'm very proud to be part of it. And John, Simon, I hope you have a great week next week. I'm celebrating the birth of my fifth grandchild yesterday, so I'm going to have a lot of fun after I hang up the phone with you guys.
Perfect. Gentlemen, thank you for taking out some time today to talk with me, and hopefully we can do it again next week. Until then, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. Till next time, goodbye.